The viewpoints expressed in the following program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff. It's the Happy Homeschooler, where we explore and celebrate Savannah's homeschool lifestyle, with your host, Mrs. Lisa Chandler. Join us as we examine why so many people are turning to homeschooling, find out what it really means to be a home educator, and discover valuable resources, programs, and events for the homeschooling community. If you're a veteran homeschooler, new to home education, or just curious about homeschooling in Savannah, you don't want to miss what's coming up next. And now, here's the Happy Homeschooler. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show, everybody. I am your host, the Happy Homeschooler, Mrs. Lisa Chandler. And with me today is probably one of my favorite humans on the planet. Hands down, bar none, my favorite living human on the planet, my husband. Hi, Corey.
Hi, sweetheart. That was pretty sweet of you. And you already know you're my favorite.
I better be. I'm not the best human, but I better be your favorite. Guys, it has taken me, let's see, we started the show back in April, and now it's December, and I'm finally interviewing you. So what's that about?
Yeah, we've tried to get me on here several times. It didn't work out.
Yes, I sure have. But you guys out there in Radio Land are in for a treat today. Because Corey is in the house. Uh-huh, Corey is in the house. Mm-mm-mm. I, first of all, love talking to homeschooling dads because you guys bring such a different perspective. And everything seems to be very heavily centered around homeschooling moms. But you guys are involved too.
Right. And that's one of the big misconceptions about being homeschoolers, and particularly homeschooling dads, that everything is all on mom.
Mm-hmm.
And there are plenty of families, at least in our circle of homeschoolers, that dads are just as involved, if not more involved, than the moms.
So great segue, my love, because we are talking today about homeschooling myths and misconceptions.
Yeah, and it's a lot of that going on.
There's a lot of that going around right now. You know, and I sometimes feel like people don't often want to hear the truth because they can't handle the truth. But in today's show, we're going to get really truthful. We're going to get honest. We're going to talk about some of the myths that we personally had. We're going to talk about the misconceptions that we see other people have about homeschooling and hopefully try to clear those up.
Yep. I think we can do that.
Yeah, so let's get started. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. And before we start our conversation, I want you to know that I would love to talk to you and share your homeschooling story. You can always get in touch with me by emailing happyhomeschoolersav@gmail.com. And love to hear from you. So please go ahead and do that. But let's get started with talking about your own personal educational experience, because I think a lot of people's misconception comes from the fact that it doesn't fit their own experience, like previous experience. So why don't you share a little bit about your educational experiences?
Well, of course, coming up in Florida, I was public school educated from Head Start all the way through high school graduation. And it wasn't the best experience. I will say a lot of the areas in Florida, particularly Central Florida, back when I was in school, middle school, well, back then it was junior high, elementary, there were a lot of racist areas.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to deal with a lot because of how the county was zoned. You know, we were pretty much bussed out to areas where it was widely known that we weren't accepted or didn't want to be accepted.
Right, not welcomed.
Not welcomed, right. But coming up in that system of public schooling and transitioning over with our kids into the homeschool setting, it did not mesh at all.
Mm-mm.
And I believe that was one of our issues as far as why it took so long for us to finally get to the point where we were at peace in the homeschool land.
Mm-hmm. I think when you're talking about your educational experiences in Florida, people need to understand the climate of the world and the historical reference of the world at the time. Like, honestly, you were just coming out of the civil rights movement. You were desegregating schools. There were a lot of people who didn't believe in it and were begrudgingly doing it. So maybe in the major cities, you had, you know, a bit more control over that process. But in those rural areas, and, you know, back then I wouldn't consider Florida to be all developed. There was like Orlando, and then there were all these little towns around it. And so maybe in Orlando, it was, yeah, okay, we're doing this. But then in Orange County, there were all these little places that were begrudgingly doing it. And, you know, I feel like people will often take things out on the children because that's the object of their disdain. Like, that just happens to be the closest way that they can, you know, express their dissatisfaction. So you actually had quite a few experiences that I didn't have. I grew up in the islands. Everybody looked like me. There was colonialism as an issue, but not necessarily racism as an issue, right? So your experience really did change your mindset when it came time to education. And I think the way it changed was, if you had to go through all that crap, it was because education was important.
Right. And that's what we were fed.
Mm-hmm. And so you put up with it. You tolerated it because education was so important, and not just any kind of education. Education by the system.
Yeah.
By that system. It was so important that parents would be willing to put their children through those experiences, expose their children to that neglect, you know, the abuses, verbally, physically, all of that. Because when we were coming up, they were still paddling kids in Florida.
Right. All the way through, I believe the last year was my 10th grade year.
Mm-hmm. Corporal punishment was still a deal.
Florida, yeah.
You know?
Which was, 87?
And I promise you, we're good people. If you guys know anything about us, we're not bad people. But did you get paddled?
Oh, man.
I did. I did.
Yeah, I had my own special paddle.
You know what? That is why our children the way they are, right? You had your own special paddle?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
sitting
Lord.
There, I probably could have put my name on it.
Oh, my goodness.
But I mean, I wasn't a bad kid. I just did dumb kid stuff.
Yes, yes. And at that point, beating the child was the way you get things out of them, you know?
It worked.
Did it?
For about a week. I didn't do that again. I did something else.
Wow. So it really wasn't effective, is what you're saying?
Not as much as they thought it was.
And again, but that is what people thought was important to do. That's what the belief system was. So, you know, it's kind of like when people used to think the world was flat. You couldn't argue with a person thinking the world was flat until it was discovered it was round, right? You have these ideas in your head. They are so deeply ingrained there. How does one challenge the thoughts that are in their head?
Right.
That's a hard process.
Right.
You know? I mean, if you're looking at the news today, my goodness, there are people who are actually saying that the whole United States will explode if one person wins an election over another person. Like, the whole planet will just explode. Is that serious? You know? And so in our own minds, we're looking at our situations and we're thinking everything is so serious. Everything is so important. So if you are willing to tolerate your child saying they don't like school, and I don't think a parent really understands how important that statement is. they're not happy. They come to you and they express that sentiment to you, and you go, well, you just gonna have to do it. Well, why?
And I was that kid, mm-hmm. Particularly in the seventh grade. You know, I won't mention the school, but we had all black neighborhood bus to all white neighborhood, mm-hmm. which is where the school was. And, you know, during that time, you know, it was heavily prejudiced in the Central Florida area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people didn't realize that, you know, unless they were from there or came into our situation, and then they saw it for mm-hmm. themselves. But I experienced multiple, could have been life altering experiences had I not had the parents that I had,
mm-hmm.
While in seventh grade, which changed the course of my high school career, because I wasn't zoned for the high school that I actually graduated from.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the high school that I graduated from traditionally was a black high school.
Mm-hmm.
My parents graduated from that high school because that was one of three high schools in the central, all black high schools in the Central Florida area.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, it changed to an alternative school.
Mm.
So the students that were there, for the most part, were outcasts mm-hmm. from the Orange County public school system.
Right.
So they either were truant from other schools or behavior issues. They got in trouble for fighting or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Expulsions.
Right.
They sent those kids to the high school that I graduated from.
Mm-hmm.
Not all the kids that were there or students that were there were behavioral issues. It was just by choice. And I was one of those by choice.
Mm.
I went there because we had trades.
Right.
That was the only school in our area that actually, well, public school in our area that actually had, still had the trades.
Mm-hmm.
And everything from agriculture all the way up through air conditioning, heating and welding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we had it all. But that was slowly taken away by.
Go ahead.
That was slowly taken away by the system.
Right.
And I believe because the system was now moving into the money making business of everybody has to go to college.
Hmm. Yeah, that definitely is a lucrative business. But it actually just occurred to me that you attending the alternative school, not fitting into the mainstream system, you were almost primed to be a homeschooler, honestly, because that's pretty much the same sentiment that many homeschoolers will have. They feel like, okay, we don't fit. We're looking at this. We're thinking, okay, this is not working. I'm not sure why it's working like that. And these are probably the people who are looking for something different because they didn't fit, you know?
Right.
But the mainstream people, the majority of people who participate in public school, who do the homecoming, the football, like all of the traditional like public school things, they're looking at you and they're thinking, well, why would you pick that? Why would you go there? Why would you do that?
Right. And I had that question was asked throughout my high school career.
Mm-hmm.
I was very popular. Academically, I excelled, athletically, I excelled, and quite often by other coaches, news reporters, I was often asked, why are you at this school mm-hmm. and not at the school that you're zoned for? And you know, to me, I didn't want to deal with the, quite honestly, I didn't want to deal with racism anymore. Mm. I felt at home at my school because although we had a fairly good mixture of white and black teachers, everyone at that school seemed like they were there to, teacher-wise, they were there to actually help the students. Didn't matter whether you were black, white, Asian, it didn't matter.
Hmm.
And I didn't experience that at the other schools.
Right. Well, guys, you're listening to 107.5 FM, WRUULP. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul, and this is the Happy Homeschooler. I'm your host, Mrs. Lisa Chandler, and we're talking to my favorite human today, Mr. Corey Chandler.
Yes, yes.
So we're talking about your upbringing and the way that you viewed education. And, you know, I said it before, when you are subjected to that much...
Drama?
Yeah. And challenge, you almost have to accept in your mind that the challenges are worth it because of the education and what you're going to learn, what you're going to get, what you're going to experience, the opportunities that are available to you. Now, all of a sudden, that has to become like, okay, well, that's why I tolerated it. That's why I put up with it. And so now you're older, fast forward, you know, cough, so many years.
Quite a few years.
You have children now, and you decide you're going to public school.
Right, because that's what I knew.
That's what you knew. Now, you also knew some things about public school.
Yeah, and I did what I could to shield them from some of the things. I knew I wasn't going to be able to protect them from everything. And quite honestly, I didn't want to protect them from everything. I wanted them to experience some of the stuff, but public school, there's a lot of stuff that goes on in public schools teachers aren't even aware of.
Yes.
You know, I can't get into it on air like this, but I mean, just being honest and transparent with your audience, your listening audience.
Ooh, I mean, please do.
There were times where I gambled in school.
What? You know?
Little old me, you know.
Pinching pennies, you know, what they call it?
Pinching pennies and flipping quarters and stuff like that. You know, I walk around with $10 worth of quarters in my pocket. It was crazy.
Mr. Jangles.
You know, and it was, you know, that's just the lighter side of some of the stuff that was actually going on. And I'm sure still takes place in public school. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen.
There was no gambling in our home school.
We didn't do that here.
We didn't have time to.
Right. We just did not get exposed. Or should I say, our kids didn't get exposed to the things that I was exposed to. But I guess you can look at it as, well, you know, that's what shaped me and helped me with the transition for our kids from the public school setting into homeschool setting, because I already knew some of the things that they were exposed to or being exposed to in the public school setting. And I was actually able to see it a little bit sooner than what I experienced.
Yeah. And yet I would say that, I mean, it's not like we chose because of your and my experience were similar. Meaning that we didn't have the best of experiences in public schools.
Right.
Okay. Not the best of experiences. There were so many things that did not work. And instead of just throwing the baby out with the bathwater, we were like, no, we'll work with this. We have children now. We'll put them in the system. But we just know we have to be involved. Right. We have to know people. So we're putting all this energy in. And still, we come to the same conclusion of this is still no better.
Right. I mean, my parents were, well, my mom was heavily involved. I grew up with her as PTA president. But that was also at the elementary school in my neighborhood, which was a historically Black elementary school. Still is. Once I went to the other side of town at the junior high, completely different ballgame. And we didn't have that representation of the Black parent on PTA. We didn't have any of that. So it was, hey, you're in our system now. You follow our rules. We're going to treat you how we want to treat you. And that's how it's.
But you have, so because of that experience, you have kind of like early warning spidey senses that go off.
Yeah.
And then when you have children now and you're having them in the system, do your spidey senses go off?
Oh yeah, but it wasn't as frequently because we were always there.
Right.
You know, I showed up at the activities and, ate lunch with them when I could and visited the classrooms. You were there, you were PTA president and all that good stuff. So we had presence there. So we were actually able to see a whole lot more than some of the other parents could.
Right. And yet we still couldn't change anything. We couldn't fix
Because it's a
it.
system.
Right. And so here comes now the time where the myths and the misconceptions come into play about homeschooling because we realize this isn't working. Public schooling is not it. What are our alternatives? And we didn't immediately look at homeschooling and say, yep, that's what we're doing. That's not what happened.
Nah, because one of the myths about homeschool, coming up, homeschool is not new. It
No.
just it was just replaced by public schooling, not only physically but mentally.
Yes.
They implanted, oh, that's not the way to do it. Not how you become educated.
Right.
Well, before the public school system was created, how do we get educated?
Right.
Got educated at home.
Exactly.
So
So it's the original gangster.
yeah.
The OG.
But my point was, it wasn't widely accepted.
No.
We thought, oh, they're homeschooling, man, they're weird.
That's the misconception. Number one misconception or myth about homeschoolers is that y'all are weird.
Yeah, y'all weird.
Y'all are weird. Y'all just do things different, and I don't do things like that. I don't understand what's wrong with y'all. Y'all are just weird. Like, that's the biggest thing. Awkward, antisocial, don't know how to talk to people, being in the house all day with
Lazy.
like 50 cats, but I don't know what to
I've even
think.
heard within the last few years, I've even heard some college professors say they don't like homeschool. They don't like homeschool students, students that were homeschooled, because they don't know how to engage in class.
No, that's just, oh
Like,
gosh, no, that's
they
not
don't
your
know how
homeschooler.
to. They're not critical thinkers. I'm listening to the last person, the last instructor I heard was a man, and I was like, wow,
Prejudice much?
maybe you just got the wrong homeschooler, but
Right? But
because.
you wouldn't lump every other kid that had those same qualities and say, well, that's just public school. You would say, that's just that kid. But in the homeschooling world, here's another myth that all of us represent, the one of us represents all of us. You know what I mean? Like, as soon as you meet one awkward homeschooler, now all of a sudden, all of us are.
Like, nobody's awkward in public school.
Right? Not a single one of
Nobody.
them.
Come
Nobody knows, like, all of them know how to talk to people. They make eye contact. They have excellent verbal communication skills. Like, yeah,
Like, all of them. Because they were
Wait, let me lower my
brought
octave.
up in the public school. But yeah, that's just one of the many issues that we come across with the myths of homeschoolers.
Yes.
And I was one of those.
Yes.
Even when we started homeschooling, I still had public schooling in my blood. And that was how you learn. That was how
Yes.
you were educated, how you were schooled.
Let me tell you a funny story. I did some research. I don't even know why I did this random research, but I probably was watching something and it came up, and then I was like, really? Let me look more into that. Did you know that when grocery stores first opened, people didn't used to use buggies with wheels? They used to carry the baskets, everybody. And this did a couple of things. One, you could only purchase what you could carry in the basket, the handheld basket. So it made your shopping much shorter, much more purposeful, much quicker, because you wouldn't be able to carry, like a lot of stuff in your hand basket. When they introduced the shopping cart, nobody would use it. nobody wanted to use it because they said, well, you know, the women were like, well, I push a baby a pram all day. I don't want to use the shopping cart. Men were like, I'm strong enough. I can carry the basket. And there was a complete mind shift that had to happen to get people to start using the buggy. So the grocery stores started hiring people to go around the store pushing the buggies and purchasing things in the buggies so that people would see it and become accustomed to it in their mind. And now, when you go into the store, you might only be going in there for one thing, but you're still going to get a buggy.
Right.
You know, if you do go in, you're so programmed to get multiple things that sometimes you'll have an armful of stuff and then be looking around like, where's the buggy? I need one. And it was all because there was a concerted effort, a conscious, deliberate effort to change people's minds and
Right.
perceptions about that topic. I think that's where we are right now, that there is a concerted effort to try to change people's minds about homeschooling. Before, it was just leave us alone. We're homeschoolers. We're not bothering you. Don't bother us. And you could say that that kind of worked, but I believe that homeschooling, the way it is kind of a threat to the established public school order.
Oh, definitely.
And so y'all won't leave us alone. Y'all won't
Definitely.
just let us be
And
happy.
especially with what's going on in the world right now with this pandemic.
It's really exposing some things.
Yeah.
And, you know, especially because now you're seeing a lot of parents who are saying, like, now we're just going to homeschool. The government, especially here in Georgia, does not reach into homeschool the way it does in other places.
Right.
And so now that you're having more people go into homeschool, you can almost guarantee that the government is going to try to reach in there to have its little control, you know, because, like it had over public school children. So for us, it's like there is a propaganda campaign that is going on about homeschooling families. And then whenever, like I said, whenever one thing happens,
Right.
all of
They
a
lump
sudden,
everybody into
it's
that.
all of homeschooling that's the devil. You remember the family in Effingham County, probably what, 3 years ago? It was all on the news. Homeschooling family murders their children, buries them in backyard.
Yeah, I remember
You know they were not homeschoolers?
that.
We know. Because we actually, said, let's investigate this. This doesn't sound like our people. You
And there
know?
were a whole lot of other homeschoolers throughout the state that actually did that did an investigation also,
Right.
because
Like,
they
oh,
were
you.
trying to lump all homeschoolers
Exactly.
into being that type of person. This is why we don't homeschool, because there's no way to
There's no oversight. The
oh
government
yeah
has
to
to be
see
involved.
what happens, what the kids are doing, to check the welfare of the kids. Like, come
Right.
on, man.
Well, check your welfare of your public school
Yeah.
child, because I just caught these two behind the dumpster. You know what I'm
Or
saying?
got somebody in one of the stalls taking their money, man. Come on.
Right? You know? So police, what the old song say? Sweep around your own front door before you try sweeping around mine. But anyway, like though that family said they were homeschoolers, but never actually completed the paperwork. They only said that and pulled their children out because they were about to get investigated, and they were like, "Well, let's do this." So now you're saying you're a homeschooler, but you know what? There are parameters. There are. I think people are under the impression that we don't have any responsibilities, but in homeschooling world, that's a misconception. Like, you're a homeschooler. You take the utmost care, concern, and thoughtful diligence concerning your children's education that I have ever seen. You are involved. You are proactive. You are invested. You know, like, yes, a teacher can be a great teacher, but they'll never be that child's parent.
Right.
They can't ever be more invested, more involved, or more impactful or powerful than a parent. Do you know what I mean? So to me, these are all myths that people have about the
Yeah.
homeschooling
And
community.
all of the parents that I know, at least in our co-ops that we're a
And
part of,
organizations.
they're all involved.
Very much so.
Moms and dads.
And I don't know if that's just because that's all we see. You know, we're involved, so we're only seeing the people who are
Yeah,
involved.
can't speak for all
Right.
homeschoolers, but
Yeah, we don't want to do that and just lump all the
what we
homeschoolers
see
together.
And not just in the organizations that we're involved in, the organizations that actually contact us because they're saying, oh, wait, we found another co-op or organization that's heavily involved with their kids' education like us.
Well, guys, it's the part of the show where we have to take a little station ID break, but we'll be right back after these messages. You're listening to WRUU LP, Savannah, Georgia, 107.5 FM, also streaming online at WRUU.org. We are Savannah Soundings, community radio with global soul.
What does it mean when we say that WRUU is a community radio station? It doesn't just mean that we invite the community to create programming, and it doesn't just mean that we are a voice for the community. It also means that we are counting on the community to keep us going, and you are the community. Almost all of our modest budget comes from small annual or monthly donations from listeners like you. You get to enjoy our community-focused programming because many others have stepped forward to do their part. Now do your part by joining our community of listener donors. Go to WRUU.org right now and make a one-time or monthly donation, and thank you for supporting Savannah's community radio station, 107.5 FM.
This is a message from the Georgia State Department of Public Health. Social distancing means minimizing contact with people. It also means that if you are near someone in public, try to stay at least 6 feet away. The less contact people have with one another means the less opportunity for the virus to spread. Slowing the spread of the virus means that we can keep our healthcare system from becoming overwhelmed. More information can be found at dph.georgia.gov.
And we're back. You're listening to the Happy Homeschooler. I'm your host, Mrs. Lisa Chandler. And today we're talking with my papi chulo, mi numero uno, my baby daddy. Hi, Corey.
Hi, Lisa.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for putting this together and scheduling it out to where we both could actually be in the same spot at the same time.
That's awesome. Yeah, so we're talking about myths and misconceptions in homeschooling today. And, you know, these are the myths that we had coming into it, but they're also the misconceptions we've seen other people have concerning homeschoolers and what we do, you know. So let's just kind of take this segment of the show and we'll kind of I'll name one and then you can name one and we'll kind of just discuss it. We go back and forth like that. How's that sound?
Sounds good.
All right. Do you want to go first or is it ladies first?
We can ladies first. We can go ladies first.
Because I will defer to you.
That's fine.
All right. Misconception that I've run into is that I'll say this. Black people don't homeschool. How about that one?
Oh, that's heavy. That's heavy. Because
you homeschool?
What we found, and especially here in Georgia, there are a whole lot of black homeschooling families.
Surprisingly.
The only thing that I would say about that is they're not really connected like I think they could be.
Is that a misconception on our part? Or, I mean, because we're involved and we know that they're out there. We see them, but they're not necessarily connected to the groups and stuff that we're connected to.
Well,
is that a misconception? Or, I mean, is it like we just don't see them?
I think we're not seeing them because they're not connected.
Yes. I mean,
we're getting new members into our co-op that when they find us, like, oh man, we didn't even know you guys existed.
Right. So here we go. How do you not know? Is it because you, and I'll say this for me, is it because you're so traumatized when you first come into homeschooling that you're just like, let's just keep our heads down. Let's not draw any attention to ourselves. Let's just keep our family safe.
Right.
And so we don't want to go out there and start asking questions, getting connected, looking for people, because we've been so hurt, which is probably one of the reasons why we came into homeschooling in the first place. But I'm not willing to go and let myself be hurt again. I don't reach out.
Not,
I don't
not by the connected. System that I already know hurt me.
Right. But there's a misconception in that, because now you're thinking that the homeschooling system is going to behave and function like that system.
Right.
And it doesn't have to, you know?
You can create that system
and we've seen it. Homeschool.
We have seen it. We have done it.
Well, what I mean is we've seen homeschooling groups that are very exclusive, that very controlling.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen that to where you don't feel comfortable. They've pretty much recreated that where it's, nope, this is for a specific group and you're not really welcomed. And if you are going to be in this group, then you're going to have to do things the way we want you to.
Right, right.
We've seen that. So I get it, you know, why they wouldn't want to connect.
And I understand that too. You know, that's your group, your organization.
Right.
You run it how you want to run it.
Right.
However, our organization, if it's anything close to the public school setting, I don't want to deal with
it. True.
It's not going to be a part of you know, anything we have going on.
One of the things that I think, and I'm not speaking for all Black people at all, but for me, if I go into a space and I'm the only Black person there and I'm the only Black kids there, you're going to get my presence one or two times, but you're not going to get to keep my presence. Because to me, it's like, well, you've not created a space where everybody would feel welcome to come here. So if I'm, you know, if I'm the only pepper in the salt, well, you know, I'm probably not going to feel too comfortable. It takes a lot of strength to be that chick who can go into a space where you're the only person who looks like you. Not all of us have that strength or desire to even try. We're not even trying to do that anymore.
Some barriers haven't been, mm-hmm. you know, breached yet.
Right. You have to be conscious about it. But again,
you know, when you have someone different or at least someone that looks different, mm-hmm. let me just say that, someone that looks different, make them feel welcome.
Right?
I mean,
easier said than done.
It's easier said than done. But you could at least be friendly. Show yourself to be friendly.
You could.
Some places we've gone, it's and groups we've gone to and attended events, it's like,
you're that awkward homeschooler we've been hearing about.
This is definitely why homeschool gets so bad rep.
Oh my gosh, so funny.
Don't worry about us. Thank you for allowing us to attend this event. But yeah, we'll pass on all of the rest.
It's like when you go into a store and, you know, that person's behind the counter and they're terrible customer service. You're like, why would you pick this person to be behind the counter? Greeting folks. Pick somebody else. Let that person work in the back, you know, warming the buns or something. Oh my gosh, too funny. All right, but that's mine. That's mine. Okay, so your turn.
Misconception.
Mm-hmm. Either that you've personally had or experienced, or that you've heard somebody else had concerning you homeschooling.
Homeschoolers are socially awkward. And I say that's a misconception because what's socially awkward when you were brought up in a system that programmed you to think that this is the only way to be socially acceptable?
That's a good point. So again, if you don't meet the criteria of the system, then we have to label you the anomaly.
Right.
You're the one that has the problem. It's not that I have a problem in how I approach you or deal with you. Is that you have a problem because you don't want to behave the way I expect you to.
When that homeschooling kid that you're saying is socially awkward, you know what? I'll use our kids. We've actually taught our kids. If it's not something that you believe, something that you value, and that other group of kids are doing it, you don't have to participate in that. Our kids don't. And they're quick to tell you that, yeah, I can't get down with you.
Mm-hmm. We're not compatible.
Yeah.
That's what they say. Oh, we're not compatible.
So does that make my kid socially awkward because they're the only one out of the 10, 15 kids not doing something mm-hmm. that the group is doing?
Well, I think that goes along too with the peer pressure. Like,
yeah,
there is a certain amount of peer pressure that gets exerted in the system, in the public school system, for children to behave in prescribed, accepted ways.
You know what I mean? Accepted as being normal.
Right. Right. So if you don't have the shoes or the phone or this or that, if you don't speak a certain way or use a certain type of language, you're going to, what's wrong with you? Why are you like that? It's like, well, I mean, that's how I am. Is that not cool? Like, I can't just be me. So I think that the social awkwardness, maybe even more in depth than that, it's the fact that you don't even get to really know yourself. You're not really even allowed to know yourself and figure out who you are and develop your identity when you're in those public school settings. Your identity is so tied to the system and what they'd like that I think, you know, kids don't necessarily feel like they can have their own voice and do their things their own way. So right. Maybe it's not socially awkward. Maybe it's just that you're an individual, you know, like you're a unique person with your own mind, your own thoughts, your own belief systems. And in homeschooler, that's what we value. We value marching to the beat of your own rhythm, you know, and saying, what do you have to contribute to the world?
And that actually just brought another one up. When I said free thinker, mm-hmm. You know, people hear that about homeschoolers like, oh, well, they're like hippies.
Tree hugging, granola bar eating hippies.
Yeah.
Right.
They just love everything.
Nah. No. No, we do not. Listen, let's get that straight. Good point. We do not just love everything. Okay. In the homeschooling community, you have people who are very, very, very liberal minded. Like, hey, if your child is running around in the backyard with no clothes on, what's the problem? And then you have some homeschooling families that are so conservative that, you know, that you have underwear on top of your underwear. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just the way it is. So even in the homeschooling world, there are so many people that fall along the spectrum. But what I think is, in the homeschooling world, we are much more likely to accept the person where they fall.
Right.
We're not trying to pull you to here or pull you to there. Now, there is a difference. If I'm making an organization and I want my organization to be filled with people who think and behave like me, then sometimes you will see that coalescing. Right.
Right.
And it might feel exclusionary, but it's not. It's just, I just want to make sure that I'm like,
I'm aligned with like-minded individuals.
Right. I'm kind of like creating my own cultural space along the spectrum so that we can gather in this space. And that's okay, too.
And we can do that. Right.
I don't necessarily feel like it's about making every single group along the spectrum just be liberal or just be conservative. I think it's more of we've got to figure out how to live peaceably with each other, even though I don't necessarily believe 100% of what you're saying. Can that be okay?
And that's the beauty of being a human being, man.
Right.
I don't have
outside of the system.
Yeah. I don't have to agree with everything you say or believe to be your friend.
Right.
Or to be an associate.
Or be associated or you know? Friendly.
Yeah.
Or to be respectful.
And I certainly don't expect you to believe everything that I believe.
Mm-hmm. And therein lies another myth I'd say another myth, because people tend to believe that whatever it is you believe today is what you should believe forever.
Right.
That there is no growth, that there is no changing, that there is no maturing, that there's none of that.
We learn every day of our living life.
So the thing that fit you when you were in your early stages of homeschooling, you know, after doing this a while, you realize that doesn't fit anymore. And I think some people are under the impression that you have to stay exactly the same.
Right.
There is no growing. There's no changing. There's none of that. And yet that's life.
For the most part, people don't like change. So if you as an individual started out one way,
when you're creating such a rigid structure, you almost force a person to break the boundary in order to survive, to live, right. to thrive, because you're so rigid. You know, we've had conversations with families that said, when we had our first children, we were so rigid, so controlling, we wouldn't let them do anything, you know, go anywhere, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as they got out, they went buck wild.
Yeah.
And then what happened? They learned from that. So now with the younger kids, now the younger kids get this, this, and this. The older kids now say, well, you weren't like that with me. And it's like, okay, yes, but I learned, I developed, I matured, I changed.
I changed.
You know, that happens. There's this whole idea that people don't change.
What happens with knowledge?
Right? Well, absolutely they do. Absolutely yeah. they do. They may not change in the ways that you'd like them to, but they certainly are going to change. Well, guys, you're listening to WRUULP 107.5 FM. We are Savannah Soundings Community Radio with Global Soul. We're having a great conversation with my beloved husband, Corey Chandler, today.
My Hello. Wonderful wife and host.
Ooh, hostess with the mostest, y'all. We're talking about myths and misconceptions in homeschooling. We're now at the last part of the show. Probably got about 10 minutes left. You know, there are certain things that people have in their minds about homeschooling. We haven't even begun to touch the surface about these myths right. and misconceptions. We've kind of gone back and forth and shared some of the ones that are most important in our minds that have popped up. I mean, there are so many myths and misconceptions about homeschooling, from only moms are homeschoolers. You know, they don't have any other business except homeschooling. They just stay at home all day, or they don't have any connection outside of the house. You know, they're just these lonely house bodies.
That's probably the biggest myth and misconception about homeschooling. Mm-hmm. You guys are never home.
Well,
you know, man. Homeschool, y'all should be.
You know, and our kids will say, can we stay home today? Like, they'll say that because we will stay gone. We will stay on some kind of adventure, meeting people. And again, you know, balance. You do outside and you do inside and stay balanced and you're fine. We're pretty active in the homeschooling community, which is why we stay gone. You know, and stay busy. But there are big things and little things, like even the tiny little misconceptions that you can't get help as a homeschooler. You know what I mean? Like, right. It's just you. You're just by yourself. You can't talk to anybody. You can't reach out to anybody. The system, you know, has told you that now that you've left the system, you're not entitled to anything from the system. Even though you still pay taxes and that still goes to fund the system school, you're not eligible for sports. You're not eligible for testing. You're not eligible for resources. Like, these are the things that people are under the impression that they're not entitled to anything because now they've gone into homeschool.
Right. Or they don't exist for homeschoolers.
Right. Another misconception yeah. that if I leave the system, I'm going to be giving up so much.
Right.
You know, and yes, you're giving up some things, but you're not giving up everything. And the stuff that you are giving up is probably more detrimental to your child's wellness than the things that you're trying to hold on to. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, sure. They can be on the homecoming court, but they're also, you know, depressed and cutting themselves. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, right.
That could happen.
And I mean, I coach junior varsity basketball for mm-hmm. the Homeschool Athletic Association here. Who would have thought homeschoolers had middle school, junior varsity girls, junior varsity right. boys, varsity boys basketball.
Right.
I mean, there's a whole slew of sports mm-hmm. that are available for homeschool and it's growing.
Yeah. We have golf.
Golf. I mean, yeah, it's a lot of stuff.
Well, I mean, I had golf when I was in high school because I went to a
pretty well off high school.
Public well off high school.
Mine was not that well off.
Listen, I have come to discover that they have figured out a way for public schools to be privately funded. So basically, they're publicly funded private schools. Wait, did I say that right? Yeah. They're basically publicly funded, but they run like private schools. And that's what I happen to end up in, you know. But yeah, I think that overall, we have a beautiful homeschool community developing here in the Savannah area.
You know, I have talked to people about beginning a band to be able to play at the football games. So there are things that are coming. It's like something is developing every day. And 7 years ago, I don't think that we had all of these things, or if we did, we certainly didn't know about it because we were still under the misconception that we had to do everything by ourselves.
Right.
But I think more and more people are going like, no, I can contribute to this community and make it greater. You know what I mean? And the greatness of it involves everybody gets to be who they are. We'll take you. You're welcomed. That's it.
And I think with the public schooling at home, I call it, the online learning that happened because of the pandemic, a lot of parents are now seeing the flaws in the public school system.
Yes.
And they're seeking out to understand what exactly is homeschooling. And when they find out, wow, a lot of the information that I had was either incorrect or it was a myth or misconception about what homeschooling is and is not. So now they're realizing what it actually is and the freedom that you have. And I say freedom, but believe all of the homeschoolers that I know, they are seriously structured. So it's not just wake up and do what you want to do. There is some structure.
You don't know any unschoolers, huh?
Yeah, there's some structure going on a daily basis, but it's not. Yeah, it's more routine than what it is in the public school setting where you're going to this class for. Yeah,
And the structure does not supersede your family's needs. That's the thing I've found consistently in the homeschooling families that I interact with, is that if y'all need a break, you get a break.
Right.
It's not that, no, you have to finish this. Like, your work never supersedes your wellness. And that's what I've noticed. But then again, that's another misconception. You know, before I used to be real high, afraid of heights, right? Mm-hmm. You remember how, like, if I'm trying to, like, step from one high place to another high place, I kind of, like, stuttered and I'm scared and I'm gripping the sides. That's how I feel about these families who are now in public virtual school and they're looking at homeschooling. It's like, okay, I can see that that is going to be more stable, that it's going to be better, but I'm scared to go there, you know, because I have all these thoughts in my mind and maybe they're not the right thoughts, but you know, this is what I would encourage anybody to do, is evaluate your thoughts first and then independently fact check them. Don't just listen to one person here or another person there. The beautiful thing about homeschooling these days is that, man, you could go on YouTube and search and come up with 20 different people talking about homeschooling.
And you'll probably find 20 different ways of homeschooling.
You'll probably find 30. You know, because it's gotten to be now where everybody has an opinion on it and is willing to share it. You know, you join one of these groups and you ask a question and you're going to get, you know, responses from so many different points of views. But at the end of the day, it is still making the best decision for you, your family, your child, whatever.
And that's what I like about it, because it allows you to individualize the learning for that particular child. Unlike public school setting, everybody's sitting in a class, and if you're the strongest academically or the weakest academically, you're all in that same class and everybody's expected to perform at the same level. Or at least keep up.
Right. Why not give the math problem and say, okay, solve it however you can. And then explore everybody's different ways of solving it. Like, that's not what happens. You know, so we just had a conversation with a young lady who was virtual schooling, and her daughter was so miserable and kept saying, like, do I have to sit on the computer all day? And what you'll notice is their grades start going down. Your kids are very respectful. They're not going to just come to you and say, woman, get me out of here. I hate this. I'm not going to do this anymore. You're not going to get that from a child. But what you're going to get is what I like to call nonviolent protesting. You'll see them not doing their work. You'll see them moving slowly to accomplish tasks.
Or log out and say it was a Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah, they're sneaky. Them little sneaks. You know, you'll see their grades start to fall. And then you'll argue with them. This is where the conflict comes in. You'll say, well, why aren't you doing this? School is important. Education. Yeah. School is not important. Education is important. School is not important. Like, there are many, many people who were educated and do great things and have never been to school. Look at the guy who made IKEA. He never went to school. So to me, it's like, okay, evaluate your thoughts first. You have to figure out what you think and why. Don't come asking me about homeschooling until you've done the work of figuring out why you think the way you think first. Because you're going to hear what I say, but everything I say, you're going to go, well, but that's not, honey, live your life. Live your best life.
No, that kind of reminds me of the person we met at the flea market here.
Oh, Lord. Bless her heart.
She was not trying to hear anything until I said, well, maybe it's because of what you've been told about homeschool. She was heavy on homeschoolers not having any socialization.
Yeah, she had a lot of misconceptions too.
And it was, this is actually a social project that these girls are on right now.
Learn for yourself, guys. Learn for yourself. If you have a question about homeschooling, the best thing is for you to do your own research. Don't let anybody tell you. See it for yourself.
Yeah.
That's it.
Research, you know? And don't just fall for one source.
Absolutely. You will find that our children are firm defenders of homeschooling because they see it, they experience it. You know, this is why a lot of homeschoolers grow up and they're like, yeah, our kids are going to be homeschooled too. Because when it's done in a way that really does foster the principles of homeschooling, the original principles of independent thinking and functioning and, you know, connectivity, you're going to find that there's really nothing like it in the world. Well, that's the end of our show. Believe it or not. That was fun, right?
That was fun. That was a fast hour. We could talk for days.
About homeschooling? About
just the misconceptions.
Well, guys, thank you so much for joining us for the show today. Remember, if you guys have a story to share, I'd love to hear from you. Email me at happyhomeschoolersav@gmail.com. And now it's time for Happy Thoughts. And now it's time for Happy Thoughts with the Happy Homeschooler. I think I was about 4 years old when I first learned about Santa Claus. Was told that he brought presents to good little boys and girls by coming down their chimney. I believed this even though we didn't have a chimney because my parents told me it was true, and sure enough, on Christmas morning, there were gifts under the tree. I also remember that I was about 9 years old when I learned that there was no Santa. I can't tell you the confusion that went through my mind at the time. Why would my parents lie about this? Was everyone in on the deception? And could I believe people who were so easily deceived and who willfully deceived me? Well, when I had children, I taught them about Santa and deceived them as well. And so the cycle continued until one day I made a choice that we would no longer believe in Santa as a part of our Christmas celebrations. And when Santa left, so did the Easter Bunny and the Tooth Fairy. The happy thought for today is to remember that you do not have to be deceived anymore. No one has the authority to tell you what you get to do or believe with your own life unless you give it to them. And as long as your children are under your care, you get to guard and guide them as you see best. As you homeschool, remember to embrace your power and be confident in your ability to make decisions concerning yourself and your family. Do your own research, make the call, and stick by your decisions. No one knows how your story is going to end because you're writing it every day. So just enjoy the journey and be patient with yourself as you become the person you were destined to be. Thanks for listening today and happy homeschooling. You're listening to WRUU LP, Savannah, Georgia. 107.5 FM, community radio with global soul. The viewpoints expressed in the preceding program are not necessarily those of WRUU, its license holder, or its staff.